Now, I want you to imagine that a man has really likes getting stuff. Well, I suppose that's any man, really. But this guy really wants to have the best of the best, and he wants to have it now. And so he has taken his credit card, and he has bought all these marvelous, wonderful things for his house. He started to pay off these things, but as he got, as things needed replacing, or as things were outdated, he replaced them. And before long, he was no longer able to pay off the minimum monthly amount on his credit card. As you can imagine, the bank soon started sending him letters. "Dear sir, you have not paid your credit card this month. Please pay immediately." And so this carried on until one day, finally, the bank summons him to come and see the bank manager. Very nervously, the man goes off to the bank, and he is shown to a seat, and the bank manager comes out and leads him off to his office. He is worried, because he knows that he is going to be blacklisted, and all the things that he has bought are going to be repossessed. As he sits in the manager's office, he pleads with the manager, "Sir, please, don't take this stuff away from me." And in a very rare moment of compassion, the bank manager writes off this man's debt. He now owes the bank nothing. His credit card is freed up again, and the bank manager says to him, "I have given you, I have forgiven you, I have cleared your debt. Now don't do it again." Well, naturally, this man is over the moon, he's excited, and he carries on. A day or two later, as he's walking through the street, just popped out of Pick and Pay, he bumps into a man that he loaned 500 Rand to a few weeks ago. He grabs the guy by the scruff of the neck and demands that he pays back that 500 Rand immediately. The man naturally pleads and says to the man, "I do not have that money now. At the end of the month, I will pay you." And the man, who had his debts all forgiven, says, "No, I want that money now. If you don't give it to me today, I'm going to report you for stealing this money from me." Now, how do we feel about that situation? I think we're a bit upset with that man, perhaps, that had all that money forgiven. And we think, well, you were shown mercy by the bank manager. You should have shown mercy for that measly little 500 Rand that he'd borrowed from you. Well, as time goes on, the bank manager actually hears about this man and what he did. And he calls this man back into his office, and he says, "I've just heard about what you did. I forgave your debt, which was over 50,000 Rand. I wrote it off, and you refused to write off 500 Rand that you'd loaned to somebody. Therefore, I'm reversing my decision. You now own 50,000 Rand, and if it's not paid by tomorrow, we will repossess whatever we need to make up for that money." Now, that is a fictional story. I mean, of course, who's heard of a bank manager writing off that amount of money? But it might ring bells in your minds as I've told that story. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 35, where we see that Jesus actually spoke to a man about forgiveness. Jesus told a story about a man who owed an enormous amount of money. So much money that didn't matter how hard he worked, he would never pay off that debt within his lifetime. Jesus tells this story in chapter 18. And how this man went off after he'd had his debt forgiven and demanded that other people that he'd loaned small, insignificant amounts of money to repay them immediately. And he put people in prison and he sold them into slavery so that they could repay it. Now, in both accounts of the story, as we read that, I think we feel for the people that weren't forgiven, but we're against the man that was forgiven that didn't forgive his fellow man. We think, well, that man who was forgiven of that huge amount of debt should rot in jail because he refused to forgive somebody else. Now, we've been working through this little series called The Ignored Savior. And this morning, I want to have a look at unforgiveness. I want to just look at a couple of verses from the prayer that the Lord taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6 this morning. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, where Jesus has been teaching us various things that we should pray to God for. One of the things that he teaches us in verse 12 is, Lord, forgive us our debts. Some of the translations translate that verse, forgive us our sin. So my first point this morning I want to raise is, forgive us. One of the things that Jesus taught his disciples and the crowds that came to listen to his teaching, and of course to us as well, is that each person in this world is a sinner. We are sinners who need forgiving. Jesus taught this. Paul taught that. In fact, if we look at the Old Testament, it was the message of the Old Testament as well. We are sinners. We need to be forgiven. You see, Jesus told us, and the Lord tells us, as the Bible begins, that all of us reject God. We know we are wrong. We do not obey God. And we know that we need to be made right with God. That is why Jesus tells us in this prayer that he taught us to pray, Father, forgive us our debts. Now, the word debt is an interesting word. We often use it today in relation to money. And so, like our example that we had at the beginning, the man owed so much. He had a debt to the bank. But debt really means owing to. In other words, what Jesus is saying here is that we are in debt to God. We owe God something. And what is it that we owe God? What are we in debt to God for? Well, let's remind ourselves that God created the world. Presuming every person in this room knows that now. God made this world. He created everything in this world, including you and me. And he gave us a few rules to live by, not to restrict us, but to maintain law and peace and order within this world. He gave us some rules for our benefit. And in the face of all that, what do we do to God? We say, you're my creator, but you don't know what's best for me. I know what's best for me. I'm not going to live by your rules that are good. I'm going to live by my own rules, which I think are better. So in a way, what Jesus is saying here is because God created us, because he's given us a way that we should live, we owe God our obedience. We are in debt to God because he created this world and he's made us. And if we fail to pay God by our obedience, we are in sin and we are therefore in debt to him. But the trouble is, of course, that none of us fully obey God, and therefore every one of us is in debt to God. And try as we may, it's like having a huge amount of debt. Imagine if you had a 5 billion rand debt to the bank. Would you ever be able to pay that off? Well, if there is someone in that church that can, please do come speak to me afterwards. We could really use your help. But do you see what I'm saying? It's a debt beyond what we are able to pay off. It is a debt so large that try as we may, we will never pay it off. We will always be in debt to God. We will always owe God. We are in debt up to our ears, and the only way that we are going to get out of debt is if someone bails us out. Just like what they've done with the economy in Greece. It fell through the floor. Somebody had to bail them out. And in a way, that's as we are as humans in this world. We need to be bailed out of our debt to God. We cannot do it on our own. And just like in this world, if we fail to pay a debt, we get blacklisted, our stuff gets repossessed. In life, if we are unable to pay off the debt to God, God says, well, that's fine, but you're going to live out eternity in hell, away from me, in order to repay that debt. That's the only payment that we can make towards our debt, is going to hell. And of course, God does not wish that we end up in hell. So that is why God has provided an escape for us, if you like, a bailout plan, so that we don't have to go to hell. He's done this through His Son, who paid the price of our sin through His death on the cross. And when we accept what Jesus has done for us through His death on the cross, how He has freed us from our debt to God, then, and only then, are we freed from our sin and from what we owe God. Like the man at the beginning of the story was freed from his debt by the bank manager, we are freed from our debt to God by Jesus Himself. You see, friends, God is a loving, merciful God who does not want us to go to hell and to serve out our sentence in hell. He wants to forgive us. And He has done that and provided the means for us to do that through His Son. And so, Jesus says as He prays here, we need to pray, Father, forgive us our debts. We need to acknowledge that we are sinners, that we need Jesus to forgive us. And as we admit our sin before God, we realize that He takes our punishment and pays for it. So in one way, when we pray to God to ask Him to forgive us, one, we are admitting that we are sinners. Okay, why would I need forgiveness if I'm not a sinner? So we are admitting that we are sinners. Secondly, we are telling God that we are sorry. So when we say, Lord, forgive me, it's not just a mindless, Lord, forgive me. It's saying, Lord, forgive me. I really do not want to do that anymore. Help me. So we are saying that we are sorry to God. And three, we are saying that we will do our best to follow Him in all areas of our lives. And just like we need, as Jesus prayed in the verse before, Lord, give us our daily bread, so we need to pray on a daily, sometimes even hourly basis, asking God to forgive us. Saying we are sorry, admitting that we are sinners, and asking Him to help us not to do what we've been doing. Now, I would venture to say this morning that I think most of us sitting here today actually know that, although we don't always listen to it and do it. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know that you need to ask God for forgiveness. But Jesus doesn't just leave His prayer there. He doesn't just say, come and pray to God and ask for forgiveness. He adds almost a condition to our forgiveness. And this is my second point this morning. Forgive us as we forgive others. If you come back to the story that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 18 about the servant who was freed from owing a huge amount of money, but refused to forgive his fellow servant who owed him a tiny amount, we get the idea of what Jesus is trying to say here in chapter 6. Jesus says in verse 12, "Forgive us our debts," and then what does he say? "As we also have forgiven our debtors." And then he goes on to explain what he means in verses 14 to 15. "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive your sin also. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive yours." Now let me just make one comment here before we have a look at this. And that is to say that we mustn't take Jesus the wrong way here. Jesus is not saying that he will only forgive us if we forgive other people. No, because our forgiveness is wrapped up in the Lord Jesus and what he's done on the cross. But what he is saying is that because we have been forgiven of a huge amount, we must forgive others. Leon Morris makes the comment and he says, "Our forgiveness of others is evidence that the grace of God is at work in us." In other words, asking God for forgiveness in one breath and holding a grudge against somebody else in the next is not on. David Cook adds, he says, "It is impossible to claim forgiveness and yet at the same time go on with a proud determination to be unforgiving in certain areas." No wonder Jesus told that story of that unforgiving servant. Because if we're actually honest with ourselves, we are just like that man, aren't we? We have a huge debt that has been forgiven by God. But we fail to forgive those who do something against us. If we accept God's forgiveness, but do not, or perhaps are not willing to forgive others of the things that they do to us, we are just the same as that unforgiving servant. David Cook again says, "The reality of my forgiveness by God must show itself in my forgiveness of others." Did you hear that? The reality of my forgiveness by God must show itself in my forgiveness of others. Now perhaps you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, yeah, okay, right, sure, but you don't know what such and such a person has done to me or to my family. You don't know what they've done. Even God, we might say, will not forgive them. Well, friends, God is willing to forgive any person who admits that they are a sinner and need his help. If you were not forgiven by God, where would you be going in order to pay off your debt? You'd be going to hell. If you don't forgive your fellow man, they're not going to send you to hell. But it shows that we really are not wanting God's forgiveness. Whatever offense someone has done to us, however big or small it might be, they are not going to stop us getting into heaven. So how can we not forgive them? And yes, no one said it's going to be easy. Do you think it was easy for the Lord Jesus to do what he did for us so that we might have our sin forgiven? We sang earlier in the service, "Oh, to see the dawn." That song's all about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the chorus bit goes that we are forgiven by God himself. On the night that Jesus was arrested, you'll remember, if you're familiar with the story, that Jesus was praying intensely to God, so much so that he was sweating what looked like drops of blood. And in fact, the Lord Jesus prayed on more than one occasion, "Lord, if possible, remove this cup from me." Jesus struggled prior to his death, not wanting in himself to go through with it, although he would willingly do it for the Father. Do you think it was easy for Jesus, when he hung on the cross, to say, Lord, forgive them? Do you think Jesus' forgiveness of us cost him nothing? It cost him his life. So how can we then turn around and say, I'm not going to forgive that person when the Lord Jesus gave his life to forgive me? Can you see what Jesus is saying here? And how we often ignore this and don't take note of what Jesus says because it's uncomfortable and we don't like it? Yes, it's going to be hard to forgive those people who've done things to us. It will cost us, if nothing else, our pride. But we need to show mercy to those who have offended us, because God has shown even more mercy to us. So as we think about this idea, perhaps it'll be good to have a look at a couple of examples of people who've done this already. I've already mentioned the Lord Jesus hanging on the cross. Luke chapter 23 and verse 24. As he's hanging there on the cross, he's about to give up his last breath. He's in agony. Remember, he's been flogged. He's got a crown of thorns on his head. He's got nails through his hands and his feet. People have been hurling insults at him and mocking him. And the Lord Jesus prays, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Another man in a very similar situation, Stephen, one of the Lord's apostles, after sharing about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Pharisees came, they did not like what he was teaching, and they dragged him out of town, and they stoned him to death, hurling stones at him. You ever been hit by one stone? Imagine dying by being hit by hundreds of them. And Stephen prays in Luke 7 and verse 60, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Jesus is saying, I have forgiven you a huge amount, therefore forgive those who sin against us. Now, a more recent example, and perhaps a well-known example, is the Jewess Corrie ten Boom. Some of you might be familiar with her. She has written a few books. But she was a Jew in Germany during World War II. She was taken by the Germans and held in a concentration camp, along with her sister and others. During this time, her sister was killed by the Germans. And many people resented the Germans. But after the war, Corrie ten Boom survived. She was released from the concentration camp and she recovered parts of her life again. And she was at a meeting speaking about reconciliation and forgiveness. And she was probably speaking about something similar to what we've been speaking about this morning. And as she finished the meeting and was about to sit down, a man stood up in the audience and started approaching towards her. And suddenly, as she looked up at this man, a cold shiver went down her spine. It was one of the guards from the concentration camp where she had been imprisoned. One of the guards who had been instrumental in her sister's death. And as he approached her, he extended his hand to her and asked her, Corrie, will you forgive me? And Corrie stood there thinking to herself, Lord, I cannot forgive this man. Please help me. And she put out her hand as she prayed, God, help me. And God, she said, provided the words, I forgive you, my brother. Now perhaps someone has done something to you. Perhaps someone in this church has done something to you and you're holding a grudge against them. Well, friends, in the words of Jesus, stop it. Go and reconcile with that person. Go and ask them for forgiveness. Perhaps someone has said something about you. Well, let it go. Ask them for forgiveness. Perhaps something horrible has happened to you. Someone has done something horrible to you in the past. Well, let go of it. Stop holding grudges. Go and say, I know you've done this to me, but I forgive you. And let it go. Why? Because the Lord has done exactly that with us. If Jesus has worked in your life and forgiven you your sin, then we have no right to hold grudges against someone else who sinned against us. Imagine if God held a grudge against us because we sinned against him. We'd end up in hell, wouldn't we? Yes, it is going to be hard. Yes, we want to see justice. But leave that to God. Show mercy to these people because God has shown mercy to you. On the other hand, if I refuse to forgive someone, then although we might have asked God to forgive us, actually we're saying, God, you can forgive me for this, but I don't want to be forgiven for that because I'm not willing to let go of this. Jesus' teaching is hard here, isn't it? You can see why we often ignore this. Because it riles us inside. But Jesus says, let's not be like that man, that unforgiving servant, who was forgiven more than he could ever repay, yet was not willing to forgive people who'd done small things against him. Now, friends, if you like me, we need God's help to do this. So let's ask God, as we close things off this morning, to forgive us of our unforgiving natures and to help us to forgive those who sin against us. Let's pray. Lord, we do come before you this morning, Lord, and again we have been challenged by your word. Lord, we're often so just comfortable as Christians thinking, I'm fine. But Lord, your word says that you've forgiven us, we must forgive others. And Lord, all of us fall short in that. We don't want to forgive those who've hurt us in some way or other. And we hang on to that. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us. Lord, we pray that you would put a stop to our unforgiving nature. And that you would help us to be and to show mercy to those that do things to us. Just like you have shown mercy to us, even when we disobeyed you. And so, Lord, we pray for your help. In your name. Amen.